know you can't meditate. If you're afraid, then you come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. It's going down for it.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Nathan Zgura joined by Jason Gibbs in studio.
Hi, buddy.
Hey, brother. Good to be with you. In for Matt Wilhelm today. Big day in the National Football League. It's Tuesday, the trade deadline at 4 o'clock. Of course, rumors swirling about the Browns and Joe Thomas and what they want for guys like Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, Barkevious Mingo, except Paul Kruger, etc. Those are the names that are out there right now as it relates to the Cleveland Browns. I don't think anything's going to happen. If it does, the only one that seems to make sense to me that I've heard is Joe Thomas to Denver for a first-round pick. And if you're the Browns, you know, we can get into the strategy of that, and we can get to the debates on what people think, because there's a certain segment, at least on my Twitter, that likes the idea of doing it and thinks it is smart, and there's a certain segment that thinks it is the dumbest thing that they've ever heard of. So certainly we can get into plenty of debate about that today. We will hear from Marvin Lewis, the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, in our show today sometime here in this first hour. Not exactly sure yet when. We'll go through the grades for the game on offense, defense, and special teams. We've got after further review. We'll go around the league. And, of course, big stories around the league. Ken Whisenhunt fired today, Gibbs. Vernon Davis traded to Denver, who is going straight for broke right now in the AFC.
The Vernon Davis thing.
Smart.
Great move. I mean, a couple seventh, or was it two sixth and a seventh? One of those two. There were three picks involved, but they're all at the back end of the draft. Great move for Denver. Why not? You want to win now.
What have they been missing in that offense? Somebody to work the middle of the field, because once they lost Wes Welker, Jordan Norwood has not been that guy. We'll be honest, that was probably never going to happen. But they've missed that tight end, especially in the red zone where Julius Thomas was so good last year. Vernon Davis still has speed. He's run with those next-generation stats. He's still been the fastest tight end in the NFL this year, and he's going to be a big-time weapon for them down the middle.
Fantastic pickup, I think. And then the 49ers reports this morning that they're getting Pierre Thomas.
Yeah, Reggie Bush done now, kind of suffered a similar fate to Josh McCown, but actually was seriously injured on the concrete there in St. Louis. He's done for the year. Carlos Hyde has a stress fracture in his foot. Then they brought in a guy named Mike Davis who broke his hand. So they were down to Kendall Gaskins, and now they've signed Pierre Thomas. So for guys like Pierre Thomas and Vernon Davis, the question is just going to be how quickly can they get acclimated to the offenses.
Sure.
But when you're Denver and you're going to be a playoff team, you know, there's no rush for you. As soon as Vernon's ready to contribute, he will.
What's he going to be, like the fifth or sixth option for them?
I think he's going to be the third option for them.
No way.
Vernon Davis?
They've already got three great wide receivers.
Who's the third?
Now you're going to make me do this.
Don't play already. No, no, no. They have two receivers. It's like 60% of their passes have gone to two people. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas.
Well, yeah. No, we know there's there is a third.
No, there is not.
There is a third. Hold on.
No,
I'll find
not.
It.
Go ahead.
I'll find
Go
it.
Ahead.
But what I'm saying
you're
is
be looking for
but
a long time.
The pressure's not on him right away.
No.
Especially if they can keep the running game going after what they did last week.
Correct. And they finally got that going. Ronnie Hillman is starting to play well. They don't have a single other person on the team with 130 yards receiving other than Sanders or
come on,
Thomas.
You're discrediting me right off the bat.
Well, I didn't ask you to say something silly. Vernon Davis Hold is going to come in and be a force for this team, and they will use him. He will be the third option. He'll they've been missing.
Owen Daniels.
Has 17 catches for 129 yards.
Okay. He's still an option. I mean, that's...
In seven games, the guy's not even averaging 20 yards a game.
Who cares?
That means you're an option.
Minor details. And Norwood's still there. All right. You haven't seen the production you wanted from him yet.
He's got 80 yards.
All right. So he had a good game.
They got two guys. They got Thomas with 56, 695, and one, and Sanders with 45, 49, and three. They needed that extra guy.
Yeah, no, there's no question they needed him. But I'm just saying, I don't think the pressure... Like, he doesn't have to step in Sunday and have 100 yards receiving.
Lest we forget they're 7-0. There's no urgency
whatsoever.
That's
what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got time to acclimate. And when he does, though, I think he will be good. So for those of you in fantasy football world, I think he certainly is worth adding, because I'm sure he was on many waiver wires. And he actually hasn't played that badly himself this year down in San Francisco. Vernon Davis averaged, he's got 994 yards on the season. So not great, but they don't use the tight end. And he's got an opportunity to come to a different offense.
They don't have a quarterback.
They don't. Blaine Gabbert is starting there. That's another one of the big news items in the National Football League. And then, of course, Ken Whisenhunt fired today already. by the Tennessee Titans. Mike Mularkey is taking over.
I don't understand firing the coach midseason. I don't know what it does for you.
And here's another update on this, by the way, on this, Joe Thomas. Mike Kliss for the Denver Post reporting. He covers for Broncos 9 News in Denver. He's saying that was told the Broncos did have discussions with the Browns a while ago regarding Joe Thomas, but no firm offer was ever made, and talked conceptually, and that was it.
I think the asking price is probably a lot more than teams want to come to the table with.
That's fine.
And I'm perfectly fine with that.
Absolutely. If you're going to do it, you should get something good. For me, if you're the Browns and you can get a first and maybe something else, then obviously you want that for Joe Thomas. And we can get into it more. But just off the top of your head, when you heard the rumors about Joe Thomas, did you think good idea, bad idea? You weren't sure. What was your initial reaction?
Depends what you're getting. I mean, you have an 8-time Pro Bowler. You have a guy that's been a staple at left tackle that probably – I don't want to say the great years are behind him. I think he still has a couple very productive years left at left tackle. But I think, you know, the years are getting a little bit fewer and far between for him in terms of how productive he can be. But at the same time, the asking price, I thought what the Browns were reportedly asking for, you know, earlier on – you know, before the season started, when Denver's left tackle situation really kind of developed, and reportedly the Browns said first-round pick plus another player, you know, plus an impact player. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Reportedly, it was Shaq Barrett who had 2 sacks against the Cleveland Browns.
Kind of had a big game against us.
And we could have used it. That would have been a great
game. Not saying that you have to make a move, but if the right one comes along and presents an opportunity, you've got to at least think about it.
This is what I look at. You look at the Browns right now and you say, how close are the Browns to winning a Super Bowl? Can you say you're within a 3-year window to win a Super Bowl? I don't think anybody can honestly say that right now. So what you need are assets. And Joe Thomas, the likelihood of Joe Thomas still being at the peak of his powers, given what he's making, when the Browns are ready to win a Super Bowl, probably pretty slim. So it makes sense if you can get a good asset for him to do that. I don't know that the Browns will ultimately be able to do it. And for people who say, you know, he should retire a Brown, et cetera, I know Joe Thomas wants to be here and has been here and has given everything and played every snap. And if he's here, that's great. But at the same time, if he ever had, you know, if he wanted to go at this point of his career and say, look, I want to go to a contender, because that's the only team that's going to trade for him and match that price, would be a Denver or a New England, somebody that thinks they are going, or a Seattle that thinks they are going to the Super Bowl this year or have a legitimate chance to do so. That's it. And when you look at Denver, you know, Ryan Clady went down in the preseason. Now they've lost Ty Sambrallo, who's filled in for him. There's a huge void for them at left tackle. So it does make sense, but it's not fantasy football, and trades like this just don't happen very often.
Well, and you know, Alex Mack releasing the statement last night that he wants to stay here and finish out this season. I don't know about the rest of his contract or career, but at least for this season. And he's got the no trade clause in place. So I think those rumors are, you know, few and far between. I wouldn't put a whole lot of credence into those, but I mean, you know, what about Paul Kruger? And we've heard about Mingo's name being brought up as well.
The funny thing, I was reading something funny on Twitter today. It was like the Browns, leave it to the Browns to not know how to use a guy who got 11 sacks a year ago. And the utilization of Paul Kruger is interesting, but I don't know if people forget or they're just admitting, it's the exact same defensive staff that is using him in a different way this year. And Paul Kruger's comments, I thought, carried a lot of weight that, you know, he's not surprised that his name would be brought up given how he is being used this season. And it calls a lot of things into question, I would say, when you've got a guy who went from 11 sacks to not being a factor as a pass rusher and playing a different position, and if that was a smart switch, et cetera. But I think that that's something where he could go for a late-round pick to somebody. There are a lot of things that are potentially out there on the table. I just think when you look at this Browns team right now, as good as a Joe Thomas is, as good as an Alex Mack is, as good as a Joe Haden is, those guys have not brought you wins. Until you get the quarterback, you're not going to win in the NFL consistently. And you need assets to get quarterbacks. Now, maybe the Browns will be bad enough that they don't need an asset to move up to get a quarterback. Maybe Johnny Manziel will come in and get an opportunity to play this year and be good. And you say to yourself, oh, maybe we do have our quarterback. But you need assets. And if you look at the smart teams, you look at New England, they trade guys in their prime for first-round picks often. They're not afraid to get rid of people to make those so they can get more swings at the plate. Bill Belichick hasn't been a great drafter, but he's got a lot of swings at the plate.
Well, and Gerard mentioned it. You know, he's not afraid to make the big cut, to cut a guy, to send a message in his locker room. He's not afraid to make the big trade. You know, Belichick already said it. The phone lines are open today in New England. You got something in mind? Shoot us a call. We're happy to talk to you. I mean, that's sending a message. You know, you got to bring it, and you got to be ready to go. It's interesting to see how the rest of this afternoon plays out, because very rarely are there a lot of trades in the National Football League.
You are correct about that, and a crazy Tuesday continues. Joseph Randall has been released by the Dallas Cowboys for that kind of saga that started getting a little bit crazy down there. Darren McFadden, Kristen Michael will take over the running back duties. They've also lost Lance Dunbar on the
fantasy team.
Yeah, Run DMC is there for you. I mean, to me, this is just a situation where you have things that probably make sense, things that may have been discussed at some point conceptually, which is what's being reported in Denver, that is being blown up into this massive thing, you know, locally and then now nationally. Stuff like this doesn't happen very often in the National Football League. We will see if anything happens again. The good news is the deadline's at 4 o'clock today.
Three hours from now.
Less than 3 hours away from it. I don't think anything is going to happen. But if it does and Joe Thomas moves on, that he will go down as one of the greatest Browns ever, and he will be bringing, hopefully, something that the Browns can use to kind of start their rebirth here.
Our good friend behind enemy lines, G.I. George, sending us a tweet from Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman. If the Browns trade JT, Mac won't be a Brown next year, and that's a fact. I don't think Mac will be a Brown next year anyways.
I don't know that Mac wants to be, but if his tape continues to be at the level it is this year, he might stay here for $8 million because he might not fetch $8 million guaranteed money on the open market.
I would agree with that, too. I mean, you have some guys that are going to be free agents at the end of the year that aren't exactly maximizing
their seasons.
Yes, exactly.
Their appeal. Now, you have some guys who are, you know, Travis Benjamin, I think, has had a solid
season. Yeah.
Gary Barnage is, but these aren't going to be break the bank type of free agents going into 2016 at all. So, Colin Kaepernick lost his starting job in San Francisco to Blaine Gabbert.
I don't care how bad Colin Kaepernick is. Can you honestly tell me that Blaine Gabbert's any better, even than a horrible Colin Kaepernick?
I will see. I have no idea.
You got ties to the Bay.
Guy took him. The guy was basically one poorly timed timeout away from winning a Super Bowl. If Jim Harbaugh didn't call a timeout before they ran that read option when they're down there inside the 10-yard line, they would have scored and won the Super Bowl. And they ended up not doing it. You know, he went to an NFC Championship game the year after that again. So he has been a part of success. And Blaine Gabbert has not been a part of anything successful in his career. So it seems to me that it is one of those situations where they're just looking for anything, and Colin Kaepernick's the fall guy.
Going back to Wiz and Hunt, since it's been such a busy day NFL-wise, would you have fired Ken Wiz and Hunt? I mean, here's a guy.
The guy's record is atrocious. Isn't he like something? I saw 4-31.
What was his? I think I heard Riz say it earlier, like 3-20 or something. In his 3-20. Casey.
That's with Tennessee.
With Tennessee.
But I think if you go back, his last year's head coach before that, he's 4-31.
But how do you fire a guy that just got his franchise quarterback, and the franchise quarterback hasn't played the last two games?
There could be things that are going on more than you know that we are privy to there. The players could be quitting on him. There could be infighting in the building between the coach and the general manager, the front office, stuff that becomes truly dysfunctional, and it's better to cut your losses. It's not like he has a track record to fall back on as a winning coach recently in the National Football League.
Okay, recently, fine, but he did take a team to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's got to say something. And again, you haven't even had this guy for the entire first half of the season.
They obviously are not happy with the direction. There's a lot of complaints from the players about the way they're being utilized, the way plays are being called. There's a lot of unrest in Tennessee right now. And so that didn't surprise me at all. It actually didn't.
I just don't know what good it does in the middle of a season to fire a coach.
Because the NFL teams think that there is going to be a lot of turnover at the end of this year, and it gives you an opportunity to get the jump start on your search. If you know a guy's not the right guy.
And Joseph Philbin wasn't the right guy.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Now you've got Wiz and Hunt's gone. Chuck Pagano looks like he has an opportunity to be gone. And Andrew Luck not playing very good football, by the way.
Jim Caldwell
has an opportunity to be gone.
Garbage.
We'll be we will, you know, there are going to be, I think there are going to be quite a few vacancies, and so maybe they just want to get a jump on that going forward. 216-578-0850. I am sure you guys are going to have a lot to say about some of the rumors and speculation that are out there surrounding the Cleveland Browns. Let us know your thoughts. Would you trade Joe Thomas? Would you trade any of these guys that are on the market right now for the Browns? Let us know. 216-578-0850. Zagura Gibbs. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.